Morning, guys. We had a good walkthrough. Guys really seemed to be focused and got off to a good start in our meetings. We've got a tough opponent going on the road to play Detroit. Team, of course, is in our division. It's gonna be quite a game. We know we'll have our hands full to go on the road and try to get a win against an NFC North rival. And we got a lot of work to get done between now and Sunday. And I think we're all anxious to get on that practice field this afternoon and get started on some of the things that we'll have to get accomplished in order to be successful on Sunday. We have a couple of guys who won't participate today. We're going to hold Kyle Rudolph. He's a little bit under the weather with a leg injury, so we'll hold him back a little bit. The only other guy, we'll see what we'll end up doing with Jared. He may participate some, but we want to be cautious with that, with the neck spasms. Other than that, I think we should be pretty good. We're familiar with Mistral, of course, the time that he'll be away from us. Aaron Henderson still hasn't been cleared, so we won't have him today in practice. Should be fine from there.
You have kind of a time frame right now on Mistral?
I think maybe 3 to 5 weeks maybe before we'll get him back. So we'll see how that goes.
Seeing the specialist?
He did. So they confirmed that there was no need for surgery. So that was good news.
With Aaron, it's been now a week here. So are you still thinking over the next couple of days he may be able to pass those tests, or what sort of reports
That's
you
what
get?
We're hoping. We got to let him continue to go through the protocol, and we're hoping that maybe we may get him tomorrow. Got my fingers crossed, hoping that'll be the case.
Is Kyle just a contusion of some kind, or what does he have going in the leg?
Yeah, just a little sore. Give him a day here, see how he feels tomorrow.
Ankle or knee or what?
Thigh.
Nothing to do with his hamstring?
No.
Do you go through this week then preparing as though Stafford starts, even though there's some uncertainty about that?
Yeah, we'll prepare as if he's going to start. We'll, of course, look at tape on Sean Hill as well. We're expecting Stafford to be the starter, and then we'll have to adjust if it's Sean Hill.
Did you notice anything different with how they approached, their offense when it was Hill versus Stafford?
Not really. Just the situation, was different. When Hill got in the game, they were down, and he was throwing it just about every down. So it's a little bit different. But the offense, philosophically, didn't seem like it changed a whole lot.
Been with Harvin's kind of stepping up here when it seems like just kind of a short time ago he didn't seem pretty all that pleased?
Well, we know he's a tremendous talent, and he's meant a lot to our team, both in the past and, of course, now. I dread to think where we'd be without him. He's been terrific in every phase, in every situation. We've asked him to make plays for us. He's done it repeatedly, and the type of plays he makes, they energize our entire team. So he's extremely valuable to our cause, and just happy that he's playing so well.
Even a tall corner gives up 4 or 5 inches to a tall receiver. What's the number one thing technique-wise that a corner has to do to have a chance against, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall?
Well, you just got to find a way not to get in bad position because, as you mentioned, he already has the length. So you got to find a way to try to stay on top of routes, not be underneath routes, and try to find the ball. You got to be able to put yourself in a position where you can see the ball, because if he's in a position where he can see it and you have trouble finding it, his leaping ability, his athletic ability, he's going to come down with it more times than not. So you don't want to, get in a position where you're playing underneath him. You don't want to get in a position where you can't find the ball. It can be very tough with a guy like him.
Is that a case where you're almost like trying to get it out of his hands as he's pulling it down? Because his hands are going to be higher than the cornerbacks.
Sometimes, that'll be the case where you have to play through his hands. Other times, if you find it a little bit quicker than he does, maybe you can jump a little bit quicker, almost like in basketball, be a quick jumper. So, there are going to be times where you have to play through his hands and try to punch it out just because of his length.
Does he look as good as usual?
Oh, yeah. He's a great player. And you can see by the way defenses pay attention to him that everybody recognizes he's a great player. And you can't just be conventional when you're trying to defend him.
Chris Cook from last year for the guys to remind him that Calvin can have a ball taken away from him.
I know. It was a nice play by Chris, and he's matched up pretty good with Calvin on occasions he's lined up against him. So glad we'll have him for this game, and should be a good battle.
Has Harbin's leadership even kind of taken another step this year? And I know Chad and a couple of the other guys said that the defense was feeding off him.
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, some of the plays he makes just energizes the entire team. And the way he practices, I mean, he practices hard. He doesn't ask to get out of reps. He's been great in the meetings. He's been a very good teammate. And we need that when you got so many young guys that are learning how to play in our league and how to have success in our league, to have a star player like him stepping up and being attentive and taking notes and just showing other guys the way, then going on the field and playing the way he's playing, is just big for our entire team. One of our coaches was telling me how Jairus Wright, who missed the first game of the season, and, you know, we didn't play Purse a whole lot in the preseason, and after that first game against Jacksonville, he go like, wow, that's what I got to do to be able to play in this league. I mean, he just couldn't believe the tempo that Percy practiced with and the way he went out and played in his first ball game and Jairus's first live NFL, you know, opening day. So it just does something for our entire team, and especially for the young guys, to see a guy with his talent practice the way he does and then go out and play the way he does.
How's he holding up physically?
So far, so good. You know, hasn't complained about anything. And, you know, we have to be smart, even in practice, you know, some of the things that we do. But so far, he's been fine.
Does the addition of Jairus give you an opportunity to maybe get Percy off the field a little bit more? I mean, he's playing a lot more this year than he was last year.
Maybe, but I don't know if we'll go in that direction. You know, like I've said a few different times, that defenses play us a little bit different when he's on the field and when he's off the field. As much as we can keep him on, even if he's not the primary guy, it's better for our offense. So, you know, we'll pick our spots where he can get a blow without taking him off the field, but we like to keep him out there as much as we can. But we do have to be smart. I mean, there are times he needs to come off and get a blow as well.
How eager did Jairus seem to finally be able to get out there?
Oh, he's fired up. He's chomping at the bit, as you can imagine. He's extremely excited about being able to now practice with his teammates and be engaged in everything that we're doing. So he's pretty pumped up.
How much do you plan to use him?
We're going to use him quite a bit. You know, we want to get him involved. And a lot of it will depend on how he does this week in practice, you know, his first action back. But we definitely want to get him involved.
Coach, how much did Mike Singletary help you in getting inside the psyche of who the 49ers are and what they do and the way they like to do it, from his knowledge of that personnel and being there as a head coach?
It was a tremendous insight for our staff. I mean, he sat down with our defensive staff and went through their personnel and their psyche, and did the same thing with our offensive staff, talked about their personnel and their psyche. And if you ask our coordinators, they'll tell you he deserves a game ball for his input. He did a great job in really laying out his thoughts on their players, and it helped us when we were putting together our game plan across the board. So he was good. It was a big help.
The news is pretty fluid here, but it sounds like they're getting close to an agreement with the officials and probably get him on the field this weekend. You know, what kind of impact do you think that's going to have?
I would imagine it'll be well received. It's I would imagine. Just have to wait and see if that comes to fruition. That's, you know, I hadn't heard that news. We'll see what happens. So,
were you surprised at sort of where this kind of how it engulfed the country yesterday?
Well, our game is without question the number one sport in America. So there are a lot of people that follow our game. So not completely surprised. A lot of people love professional football. It's a big deal in our country, as we know.
Was the final decision to have Jairus down last week, was that medical, or is he ready to go and it just was a matter of a numbers crunch?
He's just about there at that point a week ago, and we just felt like give him another week, let him practice a little bit more. There were some things we saw in practice that said give him a little bit more time, and but we felt like getting past this past week would help him. So
I know you have until tomorrow afternoon, but have you made a decision yet on the roster move with Jairus?
We have an idea. You know, we're going to still go back and talk. Anything can happen between now and, you know, 3 o'clock tomorrow. So we'll talk again after practice is over today and just look at our roster again.
Coach, you played a perfect game. You didn't have any turnovers. You had a couple of fumbles late, but you had control of the game. But in terms of penalties, how do you go from all those penalties to just
one? Say it loud. Say it loud. We're going to work to try to get to zero this week. That's our goal. So credit to our players, you know, and our coaches for just harping on what we have to do to help ourselves to win. You know, same thing will be true on the road, especially this week. We talk to our players about playing a clean game. It's tough on the road to win, and you know, you don't want to do anything that's going to create other issues on top of playing a very good football team in a hostile environment. But credit to our players for responding, and our coaches really, you know, pushing the envelope in that area. But this is a process. It's ongoing. And, you know, what happened this past Sunday doesn't necessarily guarantee that's what will happen in the future. We'll have to continue to keep our nose to the grindstone.
Sunday against defending Moss, Cook was off of him quite a bit, and the book is sort of, you know, jam him at the line of scrimmage and it takes away his effectiveness. Was Cook doing what you wanted, or is he a little hesitant yet on his assignments?
No, he was pretty much, you know, doing the things we wanted to be able to do. We felt like, you know, we just didn't want to give up things over the top. We wanted to be able to keep things in front of us, and he did what we needed to do on that, on the particular coverage that you're describing. There were other times where we wanted him down, and he got down and did a good job, but on the occasions when you saw him off, it was more about, you know, what we did and what we wanted to get done in that situation.
Replacement officials, did it change how you coach at all? Maybe, you know, use of challenge flags or just being kind of heady about what's going on?
You know, I've always, now I can't speak for the other coaches in the league, but I just kept thinking about our team and what we had to do in all situations and just trying to keep our guys engaged in the game itself and not thinking about the what ifs, and and I've tried to take the same approach from a coaching standpoint and just tried to coach it as, you know, as it came up. Whatever happened, tried to handle it as best we could.
What kind of impact do you think it would have had on your team? I'm assuming you saw the end of the entire world's seen it a million times, but the end of that Packers game, if that had happened to your team, what kind of impact and how would you come back from something like that?
You know, it's purely hypothetical. As you guys know, we've had some tough losses that we've had to overcome here. And none more evident than when we went to Indy. So who knows? Who knows?
It did look like for some teams it had become a convenient scapegoat for all their ills to maybe project on the officials.
You know, it's hard to speak to all the teams. I just know for us, I've continuously talked to our players about being focused on what they can control, and that's their effort and the way they approach every ball game and their preparation. And it won't be any different this week, whether something is resolved or not. I just know we better make sure that we're focused on our assignments and what we got to do and have the ability to overcome whatever happens, because you're going to have some adversity on the road. And our guys know that, and we'll keep talking to them about that throughout this week.
Do you think that game, what happened the other night with the Packers now 1-2, will have far-reaching implications as the season draws to a close for the who wins the division and how the postseason sets itself up?
It's hard to say, Bob, because, you know, we'll look back in December, late December, even November, and just people are dialogue and look at where the races are. It's hard to say today. So,
on the left side of the line, was that because of the neck injury, or was there some schematic there that you were trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I'm almost reluctant to answer that one, Tim, just because I would like for the opposing team to say, oh, they're moving Jared Allen around. We can't just block him on the left or the right. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave it open-ended. So speculate. Yeah.
The losing streak in the division, I mean, some common themes. I mean, there have been some blowouts. There have been close games. It's kind of all over the map. What is, when you look at, I think it's 11 in a row, you've had eight of them. You know, what are some of the things that you look at and need to correct?
We need to go to Detroit and get a win. We need to play a good football game, a clean game, and find a way to get a win. By 1 point, 2 points, whatever, find a way to get a win. So 2012, new year.
Played as well as you guys did against a team as good as San Francisco this past week. Do you feel as though the bar has kind of been raised on this team, maybe even the expectations of the guys in that locker room?
Tom, you know, I couldn't say that because we sit down at training camp, the day we opened training camp, and we went through what our expectations are. And I'd be surprised if we have any guys in our locker room who didn't think we were going to win that game on Sunday. I'd really be surprised. So, you know, I don't think our expectations have changed. All right, thanks.